We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in, everybody. I am not the resident Marine, Christian Garrick. I'm Zach Streif, filling in today for K-Dog. I've got the Mad Hatter himself across from me, which is very exciting. Now, I know I listened to Scoot coming in. Scoot talked about the parade a lot. Obviously, it's Mardi Gras season. I'm excited. I'm a member of Bacchus, so I'll be riding on Sunday. I'm excited for that.
Oh, the big dog's in the
house. I'm excited for that. But most importantly, I've got Mardi Gras royalty across from me now. And you know, I heard a lot of stuff about Scoot and his experience riding in Mad Hatters this past weekend, but I want to hear from you, Bobby. And first of all, because I was wondering this on my way in, what is your previous Mardi Gras parade experience? What other parades have you done, and in what capacities?
I was in Bacchus before.
Uh-huh.
I was with actually had a pretty good time with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis.
Yeah.
And what was the guy who died on The Sopranos? That's when he was in, come on, he has a long Italian last name. Mark, do you know the guy, The Sopranos? Come on, that was it.
You're losing me.
Garofino or somebody.
Gandolfini?
Somebody. Yeah. And he
James
passed.
Gandolfini.
Yes, and he passed away. But yeah, I had a good time with him. I said, whoa, maybe living that lifestyle might not be all what it's you know, presented, and you know, at a very young age, the crew of Nemesis,
uh-huh,
right after post Katrina, I helped the Shalmatians out, so I was out in St. Bernard and had my kids from college, so that was a good one. T-Bob and I had an awesome time in Mandeville. I did Mandeville probably a couple of times, so I've probably done a half a dozen parades, and I wake up the next morning and I'm sore. And the only thing I could say is, boy, am I out of shape.
Well,
and you know what? And, you know, we had all these footballs. Oh, I'm excited. Boy, I get to throw footballs to fans and all that.
Right.
I woke up the next morning. I couldn't even, like, pick up my arm. I go, my shoulder's killing me. So I'm just an old has-been, old worn out.
You wore down. And I know, listen, riding can be hazardous as well. And they scoot out a collar in talking about, you know, my daughter got hit in the head with a full bag of beads, and there's some inherent dangers in Mardi Gras. Now, I think you participate willingly, knowing, right? This is an event in which we throw things at each other. It's part of the deal, right? You gotta be on your toes a little bit. Now, I haven't taken a child yet to Mardi Gras. We haven't gotten there yet. My son's only two. Maybe next year, I think, will be the first time that I'll go and protect his face at a Mardi Gras parade. But there's other dangers on the float. And I remember the first time I got on a float was the Super Bowl parade. And we actually rode on the Bacchus King float. And you don't realize when you're on the ground how hard it is sometimes to stay on your feet when those things start jerking around.
Yeah, they stop and go, stop and go. Right. I know I probably fell at least a handful of times. I know one time I wiped out my wife, who was the white queen. She goes, what the? And she said a few choice words, and I was like, well, I was, you know, feeling good, and then I'm leaned over, and they take off. So once gravity and momentum starts going one way, I should have taken this approach. Like, Mike Dettelier sat down the whole time. So Mike Dettelier was on the floor with me. I said maybe that's what the approach I should have taken. But I was,
you can't do that, Bobby.
You're trying to hit both sides of you know, the float and throw people stuff and you know, throw me something, mister. You know, they say a few other things, but you know, you want to be involved and just to be a part of it. When I woke up though the next morning, I tell you what, I had this Mad Hatter makeup. I ended up looking like a giant Johnny Depp, mm-hmm, about a foot taller.
Yeah.
And so halfway took the makeup off that night. I woke up the next morning. I looked like I should be in a haunted house. I mean, it was like half on, half off. Yeah, and so I was glad I had Sunday off, so I didn't have to, you know, come into work. And so it took me 24 hours to recover, but I'm still, my hamstrings are sore. My left knee's a little swollen, my shoulder.
Yeah.
How's so you take anti-inflammatory. So.
How's your throat feel?
My throat's fine.
Your voice is good?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
you can work then. Quit complaining.
I'm not complaining. You know?
Well, we got a lot of good stuff to hear. I don't get to come in and do sports talk very often in the off season, so we're going to try to take advantage of it. Lots of things really going on right now. Our WWL Blue and our Gumbo opinion poll, it does look like this has not been decided. I know that they haven't voted on it yet, but all of the discussions coming out have been that the NFL and the Players Association, if they do agree to a CBA, it will include 17 games in that CBA. Do you think that's a good idea or not? You can let us know. Text us 870-870 or jump on WWL.com.
17 games, just when you hear that, don't we like meaningful football? If you're going to pay full price, I mean, the players, you know, the players want to be compensated. That's why I always some players might say, well, no, that's one extra game wear and tear on my body. But other players say, well, you got to compensate me like a regular game. You can't like a 16-game salary prorated to 17 games.
No,
yeah,
certainly.
Yeah, you have to compensate me for that.
Certainly there's some difficulties in that. And you know, the things that I've heard about, I think the union wants to push that date back a couple of years so that there's not as many contracts that are sitting on a 16-game, right? Now, there needs to be, will be some form of, well, if you signed a contract for 16 games, this is how we figure out your 17-game right number. And yet, it's going to be more money for everybody, more to go around and all those things. One of the things I think was interesting, it's why I made it the poll question tonight and not just a topic, is most of the national polls that have been taken on whether fans want it, the answer has been no.
Why is that? I mean, are the fans not educated?
I think that's really interesting, right? But I think a lot of fans feel like it's enough. The season's long. Football's around for 6 months. There's no reason to add a 17th game. Obviously, for the owners, it's another week to go to the TV stations and say, here goes this new TV deal, and that's really where the money has really skyrocketed for professional sports is in those TV deals. And so maximizing those is why this has become such a big issue. But I do think it's interesting, and we'll watch tonight, and we hope you guys all participate in that by logging on to WWL.com and letting us know, do you like the idea of 17 games, or do you say, no, 16 is plenty?
I think this should go to 18 games. Let me tell you why.
Right, you're not playing anymore. No, go to 40.
No. It happened before. It was professional football. Reggie White played in it. Jim Kelly, Steve Young, Hall of Famers. 1983, 84, 85, played 18 games. I mean, we didn't have a problem. And you'd have two preseason games, which is really like, you know, glorified scrimmages. So it has been done in the past in professional football, not happened in the early 80s. And I think it's all about compensation. If you charge in the fans bang for their buck, okay, they pay for two preseason games, right? Because you can play two and two, two home and two away. So why wouldn't you want more meaningful games? That's the only approach that I'm taking. I think Saints fans or just NFL fans in general, you want to see real football. Now, the players want to be compensated for that. So I don't see how you could be against 17 games. Less of preseason, more let's get to the real thing and see what – and then – how you could, I guess they might be going to approach with 17 games and then expanding the playoffs. So then you got more hopes for more cities, more teams. So I think that's the right track. I mean, if you're truly going to not have a dog in the hunt, players or management, whatever, if you purely from a fan standpoint, I think you'd want a meaningful game. If I'm paying full price, I want to watch something that's for real, not seeing who's trying to make the team, and then an extra playoff game. That might be enough. All of a sudden, we're in the playoffs because of that.
Lots to talk about. I'm sure that we will not agree on everything, Bobby, but some we will. I'm listening to you talk here. Also, Drew Brees said he wouldn't mind if Taysom Hill took more snaps under center. Do you think a two-quarterback system could work for the Saints? We'll talk about that, plus which black and gold free agents are a must to re-sign. Lots more on top of that. LSU basketball and baseball, we'll get into all of it here when we return. You're listening to Sports Talk on WWO. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Happy Mardi Gras from WWL and Honda of Covington. We want to give you the experience of a lifetime, the chance to ride in the crew of Argus on Mardi Gras Day. Visit WWL.com/Honda to win two tickets to ride. Good luck. And laissez-les bon temps rouler from Honda of Covington.
Oh, you said that pretty good.
How'd that go? Not bad for a guy from Ohio, huh?
You sound like Ohio Frenchman.
I didn't even realize it was in there, and then I got into it. I was like, oh, no.
No,
hope
no,
I do this right.
No, you did. I give you an A. That was pretty good.
All right, welcome back. So before we left, Bobby and I were talking about this 17-game season, which seems to be, and I think, you know, essentially, Bobby, I believe that the owners who want to get this job done, there's a TV contract coming
right
up, and the more settled this is, the better it is for those negotiations, which benefits both sides. Let's not pretend like that doesn't benefit
you
the players to get a better TV deal.
You don't want to kill the goose that laid the golden egg.
Exactly.
You want everyone to continue to prosper.
Right. And you would assume that if you go, you know, the further you go and you get to the point where you're talking about a realistic possibility of a strike or a lockout, it really favors the owners a lot more than it does the players. And the players understand that this is not Major League Baseball. This is not NBA basketball.
Right.
You don't get an extra year back in this sport. You just don't. It's just the nature of our game, right?
So well, like when Richard Sherman maybe might have casually sometimes this season, I think he threatened that, oh, the players could go and strike if we don't get guaranteed contracts. I go, well, listen, I'm an ex-player. No one will be on your side. They'll never truly have overall guaranteed contracts. Now, you might have Kirk Cousins type of deals. Now you can get more guaranteed. But to say out and out that your contract's going to be guaranteed, it'll never happen in football. The physicality of football, that it's almost you have to play hurt if you want to last. Or, you know, because it's like you can really be hurt and say, okay, well, you got to pay me. I'm hurt. No, that's what's different than I look at the physicality of football compared to basketball or baseball with the guaranteed contract.
But here is where and why I think that, you know, the football is really unique. You know, you don't see in the NBA necessarily a small forward getting paid less than the guy running the four, right? It's not really like that in other sports, right? Now, in baseball, obviously, they're starting pitchers, and they have a market more than a second baseman does, right? But in football, I think the most unique thing is that you have one position that is clearly the most valuable.
Quarterback, yeah.
And is also clearly hyperly protected. So the league has gotten to a point now where they've acknowledged the game runs through these guys. The game is better when the best guy is at that quarterback position.
And he's not hurt.
And he's not hurt, and we're going to let that go. And so I think the quarterback market will get to that point. I think quarterbacks will start getting guaranteed contracts.
Like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. And even guys that are not, necessarily free agents, right? Guys that have a year left on their deal. And that's always been the unique thing about Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins was a Pro Bowl-level quarterback that was an actual free agent, which does not happen in the National Football League
Often. Because he bet on himself when he was franchise tagged with the Redskins, mm-hmm. and he performed at a level that was amongst the best. Now, he never won anything, but then that's where the Vikings rewarded him with that contract. But how you look at different positions. Football is such a team sport. Like basketball, you look at the numbers, and you have one-on-one. Now, they're all team sports, football, basketball, even like baseball. But how many times? The pitcher versus the hitter. I mean, you got those individual matchups. That's why it's uniquely different than football. Now, like, for instance, the running back position and the beating that they take. How could you ever guarantee contracts for a running back? If they're truly honest, they always beat up and hurt.
They're barely going to give the help. They're barely going to give them contracts in general, let alone
right. That's
long-term guaranteed.
They don't want to give them Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott. That's why at Alvin Kamara and his agent, they can want Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott type numbers. I don't see the Saints doing that.
Yeah.
Because of the position.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. So what was interesting? I'm going to look it up here. In the middle of the season, Julio Jones signed an extension. That was 98% guaranteed, and nobody talked about it.
Whoa, you're right, Zach. No one
right in the middle,
about
nobody
that.
Talked about it at all. So I'm going to pull
because the Falcons
the
weren't relevant.
They weren't relevant, and it was almost like I swear it's almost like nobody talked about this, right? Like this guy got a contract that we don't want to become the normal contract.
And he,
right?
he definitely used Michael Thomas to his advantage.
Sure.
To get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
timing.
One of the things that you said, Bobby, and I think there are a lot of fans that are not looking at this from a perspective of, well, I just want more for me. I do think there's a lot of fans that have a certain amount of concern that guys like that you played with, right? And you talked about, hey, we used to play 18 games. It was fine.
Right. We did it for 3 years.
Right. And yet I would make the argument that your generation of players has made it abundantly clear that you are not fine.
Oh, there's a lot of them that are, have issues.
A lot of guys have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know that because you were able to do it when you were 27 made it the best thing for you when you were 47. And I do think there's fans that say, why? Why? I mean, we get it. There's a lot of football. Now, then there's these questions of the financial aspect, and we've gotten some texts about this. Well, do my tickets go up? Well, if, and I think this is possible, and we'll see, that either one preseason, at least one preseason game would go away, and I think it'd be more likely to have two of them go away.
Right.
Your tickets could actually theoretically go down because there'd be one less game, and there's no discount for preseason tickets.
Right, because now, they charge full price.
There's variable pricing in the NFL now. So the good games go up, the Sunday night games, Monday night games, they go up and down, they fluctuate.
It'd be like, for instance, coming to the Superdome. If you got the Kansas City Chiefs, the world champs, coming to the Superdome, and let's say you had
and
the
Jaguars. And it's going to be Sunday night football. And you're going to pay for it.
And so let's say you have the Jaguars. No, it's not going to be the same price.
No, it's not going to be the same price.
And you see, it's like different tiers.
Yeah. I don't know that there's going to be a difference from that standpoint. But I do want, I'm going to jump to the phone lines because I think I know what he wants to talk about, and I want to clarify this. Let's go to Mike in Covington. Mike, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, Mike.
Thank you, guys. I'm a season ticket holder, and I want 18 games. If it's 17 games, you're going to have odd numbers of people playing at home versus away, and we know how much home field advantage plays into football.
Yep.
If we had only 8 home games and somebody else had 9, it would be a major advantage for the other.
That's a great point, Mike. So that's a great point. That's why I said 18.
Mike, and I appreciate you calling in and saying that. I'm going to jump back here.
I'm on Mike's side. Help convince us, Zach.
So I'm 99% positive, if that's a thing. 99% sure or convinced,
sure.
Right?
Convinced.
That if there's a 17-game season, one of those games will be a neutral site.
Oh, so now that makes sense.
So
Mike,
you will play one game a year in London, in Mexico, maybe in
Tokyo? No.
Yeah, may be internationals. I don't think there's a market to go out there, but you could also see an NFL game go to a place like
Toronto.
Like Toronto or somewhere, Oklahoma City. Thank you, Mark. A city in the United States that doesn't have a team that's trying to build an audience.
But then you have the facility, I guess, like the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. You know, Reggie White played the Memphis Showboats.
Well, sure. Listen, there's places around the country that could host those games and could build the actual fan base within the country. So that 17th game would most likely be a neutral site game.
So like the Houston Texans or something.
Houston's going, hey.
Like could play Austin Austin or
yeah,
something?
Sure. Let's go somewhere. Let's go play at Texas Stadium, right? I think that's what Texas's field is called, right? And so let's go to A&M, right?
Let's go to Orlando.
And let's play a game there.
Orlando.
Sure. There's all these places in the country that have maybe NFL affiliations, right? There may be a tie because you're close, but there's not an actual team in that city where, you know, again, you may go from Tampa to Orlando. That's only an hour away, but that's a fan base now you're giving some attention to, right?
Well, it's like even the Saints, I remember post-Katrina, San Antonio.
Sure.
You know, they had a facility there.
Sure.
No, you know what, Zach, that's what's going to happen.
And even more I think internationally
is
the real important key there is growing this game internationally should be important to everybody. Anyone involved, whether you're a player or an owner, listen, if you're a huge NFL fan, wouldn't you like to say it's the most popular sport in the world? Close.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the most popular sport in America.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even close to the most popular sport in the world.
No. The NBA is more international than the NFL.
Correct.
Simply because of the game. Then you look at soccer, which the world calls football. But I think the proximity as far as the travel – Definitely, I could see. Now they always got to get the fuel right. Mexico City, you talk about Aztec Stadium holds 100,000.
Yeah,
yeah. That's even Toronto. Look how many times the Bills play there. Now, even if you look at it like the European flavor, you know they've been playing in London, but you look when they had the European football like in Barcelona. Listen,
Barcelona. Germany has a big following in the NFL. We've got a couple German players. I mean, we had one here. Right? And he goes home and he's a superstar. He's like the main coverage for the Super Bowl.
When they had NFL Europe, they had two teams in Germany
right.
to show you how popular. So you look at Barcelona, remember the Barcelona Dragons, the Eastern Europeans. Zach, they're big people like you. No, if you know what I'm talking about, like Jim Dombrowski, Zach Streif, if you go to Hungary, all in that area, I was just in Budapest last year and they're in so intrigued with having an NFL game there.
Yeah.
And having it, they said it'd be no problem. You'd have 70,000 people there.
Yeah.
And you're trying to promote the sport. I could see definitely in Europe. Now.
Hey, go to a place like Australia that has a game that roughly resembles it, right? Go all over the world. Give everyone a chance to see it. It's not going to hurt your brand. Right? It's only going to help it.
Well, and they've had, even when I was playing, we had a preseason game like Tokyo. So you could say like Tokyo, Sydney, Australia. No, that's what's happening. Listen, we visionaries, Zach, right?
No, somebody else thought of it, I think.
Yeah, but I was telling you, we're going along, we're jumping on that bandwagon, what you could see coming about the next decade.
Yeah, and so part of this, too, is, you know, the Players Association is going to have – this is going to be you're going to have to upsell this to your players because there is not a collective interest amongst the players to add a game. So what the Players Association, the executive committee, is going to have to do – so this is how it works. First, it's got to pass through a supermajority of the
right.
of the executive committee. And this is a group, I believe it's 12 guys that are elected into basically a higher committee within.
But were you ever a representative for the
I was I was a players rep, but
okay,
I was never
yeah.
on the EC.
Yeah, yeah.
So the EC is, that's the group of guys that are really negotiating this deal right now. And obviously there's lots of people helping in that, but those are the guys at
you
the table.
You coming back to talk to the team what they told you to tell the team, right? You're representing the Saints.
Exactly,
so yeah.
So once the executive committee can convince themselves that they're going to do it, they bring it to the reps. The reps vote, you need 67% of the votes
right.
to get it to the players, at which point you just need a simple majority. And so there's a strong sentiment among the players that we're not taking any more games. I don't care what they're giving us. Now, I think that's fairly short-sighted. I think
that is short-sighted.
There's a lot of things,
and I'm an ex-player.
There's a lot of things that could come with this that might make you feel like it's worth it. Now, I would say this, and there's plenty of people hear me say this. Say I wish you hadn't said that by agreeing to more games, you are acknowledging that your health and safety are for sale, and it really kind of undercuts the argument of we're most worried about our health and safety. Because if you're really most worried about that, Bobby,
you're gonna play 8 games instead
sure,
of 16.
If that's what you're really most worried about,
no, they're not most worried. They were more, well,
Bobby,
show me the money,
and I think that's probably closer to reality.
Right,
right. Is that in reality, everyone understands what the risks are. You want to see as many risks minimized or reduced as you can, and yet you are agreeing when you step on the field. This is not good for me, right? It's fine.
So you
it's not good for you.
Yeah, you're rolling the
but
dice.
But it's
chance.
A means to an end, kind
Without
of, right?
Doubt.
It's like, man, the financial possibilities. So I think that you can sell that to the players, but it'll be very interesting to me to see what is that agreement that the EC brings to the players to say, this is why it's worth it. Because it's going to have to be worth it. And I'm telling you, Bobby, if it is simply, hey, we're going from 47% of the split to 49%, it's not getting voted through. Now, you
right.
come in and say, now you're getting 15 years of health care after you play.
Instead of five.
And they're going to double the HRA account so that you're getting more money saved up for that after your playing career. And we're going to reduce the offseason, and we're going to reduce training camp, and also we're going to give you an extra bye.
Reduce the offseason? They don't even
listen,
hardly practice at OT.
I agree with you.
Dad, you know what
I agree with you. I agree with you, but I'm telling you, remember, you have to sell this. This is like a politician
right.
selling legislation. It's not all good. It's a negotiation. You didn't win everything.
That's why
neither side's going to win. Trust me.
It's a collective bargaining agreement.
There's going to be owners in that room that are saying, I'm not giving them anything
back.
What are we doing? We're giving them too much.
Give and take.
Always going to be that in a negotiation. It's about selling it to your membership so that you can get it passed and through. And that's ultimately.
As a player, as we've gone on a break, and keep it in simple terms for the Who Dat Nation. To me, if you're a player, Zach, let's say you make $1 million a game. So I'm getting $16 million. So to me, if you're playing 17 games, then you get $17 million. Now, I think what entices the players, because you're getting paid, you know, an extra million to play that game, is the long-term health care. And instead of only, like, all of a sudden 5 years, then you expand that. When you compare it to what baseball has in the NBA, it's unbelievable. People think, like, we're taking care of for life. So if I finish playing in 97, after 5 years, I'm on my own. As far as the health care.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, and there's not really that many people when you look at a population as far as the NFL players. How many players are really involved in that? And the NFL could pull this off with no problem. But again, it's part of negotiation.
We'll continue the conversation. When we come back, we'll jump to the phone lines. Elwin, Matt, and Bo will get to you guys. More from Sports Talk when we come back. This is WWO. Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Zach Street filling in for Christian Garrick today alongside the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And we've been talking a little bit about this proposed 17-game season in the NFL. But first, before we get back to it, we're going to go to my main man, Mark Menard, for this Pelicans Primer sponsored by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why. We know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. And a little all-star break this weekend. We got to see a couple of Pelicans in action, including a little bit of a little breaking of backboards. We're doing that now.
We had a literal rim rocker from Zion Williamson as they had to go in and adjust the goal at halftime. Kind of like they used to have to do with Jimmy Graham back in the day when he dunk over the field goal and they had to go and adjust the goalpost. Well, they had to. It wasn't quite a Shaq dunk where he brought the whole thing down, but they did have to get out there at halftime.
It actually didn't even necessarily look all that powerful, to be honest with you.
No, it
looked
it
fairly
didn't.
Routine. But the man does weigh 285.
Right. No, that'd be like if Zach Streif or myself hung on the rim. It might be a little off.
It's when I hung on the rim, Bobby.
You know what I'm saying? It's the law of averages. The physics of it.
So, Mark, we're at the halfway point, essentially, in the NBA season. And this is a team, I remember doing these during the football season with you, and we hit a couple of stretches where it was like, Mark, do you really want to talk about this, right? And it was getting hard, and yet you look here at the All-Star break, Zion Williamson comes back through his first, what is it now, 9 or 10 games? Through 10 games has been absolutely everything you could have wanted and more. Out of your number one overall pick. And now suddenly this is a team that people are feeling pretty good about having a chance to make a run down the stretch.
He's been everything you wanted, and this is him at about 75%.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's incredible. You know, he says he's not back to where he wants to be yet. He says his vertical is only at about 36 inches right now. Usually it's at 46, apparently. So he's not quite jumping out of the gym, but he's jumping pretty darn high. And we're not really seeing any ill effects from his arthroscopic surgery. It seems like the things they did in the offseason to kind of retrain his body on how to land have really been paying dividends because he hasn't had any issues after these games. His minutes have gone up, you know, up and up and up, and he's up over 30 minutes a game now. And he's kind of where you want him to be. And he's been a galvanizing force for this team. You know, you could see how they rallied around his return. And they were already starting to do well even before he came back. But he has really been a spark plug for this team. And it's just in time for the schedule to really soften up here in the next couple of months and where they could really do some major damage.
And, you know, Mark, I'm glad that they're, peaking is the right word, or trending in the right direction.
There you go.
Versus the football season. Because I could say officially, Mark will tell you this, Zach, I was on the bandwagon when they won in Indiana. I said, whoa. I said, that's an impressive win. The stability of the Indiana Pacers, when they won that game, I told Mark, I'm officially on the bandwagon.
No Brandon Ingram, no Zion Williamson, and they still managed to pull it
right
out.
Right.
On the road.
I said, that was impressive. Because you look at the franchise worst 13-game losing streak, that was November 21st to December 18th. Well, we all in the football season. So that was good to have that then.
That's right.
But now, post All-Star break, how can you not be ecstatic or looking forward to the Pelicans where they're at. Look at the 5.5 games behind the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies right now, the number 8 spot in the Western Conference standings. So, you know what? I'm kind of surprised, Mark, that I thought, you might have thought differently, that who would be the MVP right at the All-Star break. I thought it'd been more the stability of Jrue Holiday, considering the most valuable player where he was at in the past and what he established. But how about Brandon Ingram? B.I., you know, when you talk about bringing him on board, averaging a team-high 25 points, basically, 6.5 rebounds, he could also be the MVP, maybe the most improved player, considering what he's done coming from the Lakers. That's what I'm intrigued by. And then you look at an unsung hero. And, you know, and Mark, we talked about this last week. How about Leafs talked about Josh Hart? I mean, you look at the Pelicans trio that came from the Lakers. Josh Hart has been unbelievable. Here's a guard, 6'5". He's averaging 6.5 rebounds a game, third best on the team. So when you look how intriguing and what we got, you know, with the AD trade and what's going to come about, you know, is the next big game, Zach, because we kind of want revenge. They're just around the corner. The Lakers come back to NOLA on March the 1st. And now Zion's going to be part of the mix, and that's what we're looking at. So March 1st. Boy, talk about a ticket. You know, we're talking about tickets now, going to event, supply and demand and all that. March 1st, the Lakers are coming to the Smoothie King Center to play Zion, AD and all that. Now, that's a must-see game that you want to be a part of, Mark.
That's going to be a Sunday night game. It's going to be televised on ESPN. Everybody wants to be a part of that one. Now, a little bit of the luster might be taken off because they do play the Lakers before that. They actually played the Lakers twice in 3 games. They're going to play them in L.A. on Tuesday, February 25th. So that's just around the corner as well. And that game's going to be on TNT. So everybody wants a piece of these Lakers-Pelicans games because they know, you know, what that means to this New Orleans fan base for sure, and how the animosity of that Anthony Davis trade has kind of built up a little bit of a wall between these two franchises and has made it a little bit bigger of a game.
Which is really kind of a shame when you think about it, because the Pelicans are in such better shape today because of it.
Right, right.
They're in such better shape. And when you look at not just the players they got, but the effort to go out and get David Griffin, the idea of we got to rebuild the whole thing, we got to do it differently because this didn't work. AD leaving was the best thing that happened to this organization because we'd have kept doing what we were doing.
It is, but you could also, you know as well as I do, if you love this city, it will love you back. And if spurn it, then God help you, because this city has a long memory and it's not going to forget. Look at the uproar we had in the city when Bill Vinovich was announced as a Super Bowl referee, and that was a year ago that his team blew that call, and people are still salty about that.
That was a stupid decision anyways. But Mark, I'll tell you this too, it's not helping. When we played the Lakers last time, that might have been the most frustrating basketball game I ever watched, knowing what that meant to the Pelicans organization and watching how that game unfolded. To see them just not be able to close that out over and over and over and over again.
Well, and the
mistakes they made down the stretch, so frustrating.
The fact that the catalyst was Anthony Davis.
Right.
They just had no answer for Anthony Davis. Now, this time around, you know, the next 2 times we play them, you know, if everybody stays healthy, we'll have Zion Williamson in the mix, and we'll get to see him go up against Anthony Davis defensively and offensively, and that should be an interesting matchup because – you know, we've seen him go toe-to-toe with the best in the NBA, and nobody's really found an answer for him yet.
Yep.
And even when we played the Bucks, who are one of the better defensive teams, and Giannis, one of the better defensive players, Giannis didn't have much of an answer for Zion either. And we saw Zion get a little frustrated early, but late in the game he got going, and he started getting his buckets. And so that's going to be an interesting matchup. But before all that, they take a trip to Portland to get things back underway here on Friday, and that's going to be another big game where they can complete a season sweep of the Trailblazers. They could, you know, get another key win over a team standing between them and the number 8 seed. That's going to be a big game on Friday.
Looking forward to it. Mark, we appreciate it. That was the Pelicans Primer, sponsored by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why, we know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. We'll step away more from Sports Talk when we come back here on WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Zach Street filling in today for Christian Garrick along with Bobby Hebert. We've been talking about this possible 17-game season, but in the next hour, Bobby and I are going to get into a different topic. Drew Brees said he wouldn't mind if Taysom Hill took more snaps under center. Would a two-quarterback system work here in New Orleans?
And would he take less money, though, if he's not taking as many snaps?
You don't know that you need to do that yet because Taysom is only restricted.
Right.
He's only restricted.
That's right.
And no, I don't think you're going to get it for any less. I don't think that's really how that works.
Hometown discount.
That's right. But we got a lot of stuff on top of that. We're also going to look into the black and gold free agents. Who do we think are the must re-signs? And then really, lots more, Bob. You're getting a little LSU
yes.
basketball. Sharif O'Neal coming to the LSU Tigers. More on Sports Talk
and
on
LSU
WWL.
Also.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.